Our reading this morning comes from the Epistle to the Hebrews, and we're going to read from chapter 11, verse 8 to verse 19. By faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was unable to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised, they only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they'd been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead.
Morning, everyone. Good to see you, and let me add my welcome to Logan's, and a special welcome if you're here over Queen's Birthday weekend. It's nice to have you with us. Let me pray, and then we'll get into things. Often, one of the frustrating things about preaching from the Bible is you most weeks kind of come away going, oh, there's so much more in that I wish we could have got across clearly, and those kind of things. I feel that way even more about this morning's passage, so we'll pray extra hard. Let's go. Heavenly Father, we thank you that week after week, Sunday after Sunday, we can gather and we can spend some time reflecting on your word. And we pray that this morning, as we think on the words that Milton just read to us, that you may use them by your Spirit to really impact our hearts and minds, that we can really see their worth for us and their value for us and how they intersect with our lives. And in doing that, we pray that they might bring us to a deeper and more abiding trust in you and love for you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When you think about certain topics, there are often particular names that are most closely associated with those topics. Names that are seen as the most important or most critical person to do with that said topic. So if I was going to write a book on the history of cricket and talk about key figures, then people like Shane Warne would be mentioned. Sachin Tendulkar. You could go back a bit in time and have people like W.G. Grace, who should be there just for his beard alone. Viv Richards, our own Richard Hadley. But I think it's undeniable that one name would be the key name. The name, who would it be? I heard lots of different names. Apparently it's not undeniable. I just heard then, Don Bradman would probably be the name, wouldn't he? He's the one with a batting average almost double that of anyone else who's played the game. He's the one who, although he's only kind of 2 foot tall, towers over everyone who's ever come after him. And same thing if you were writing about the most influential people in modern music, from kind of rock and roll on. I'm sure certain names would come up. You'd speak of Michael Jackson, biggest selling album of all time. You'd speak of people like Madonna, like her or loathe her. She's been very influential. You'd have the king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley, and you'd talk about his voice and hips and stuff like that. But again, I don't think it's too controversial to say that the key figure, or should I say key figures, would probably be... I think everyone else except Mark Tillman got that right. So... The four lads from Liverpool, the Beatles would probably be the key name. Well, for the last few weeks here at St. Stephen's, we've been going through Hebrews chapter 11. And Hebrews chapter 11, if you don't know, is a chapter all about faith. And what happens in Hebrews 11 is it basically lists a long list of people from the Old Testament who demonstrated some particular faith in their life. And so Hebrews 11 goes through these names that are familiar for people who know the Old Testament, names that we've been looking at over the last few weeks, like Abel, like Enoch, like Noah. In the weeks to come, we'll see people very well known, like Joseph and Moses. But there would have been one name that people would have been waiting for, the name that's associated most closely with faith. And that's the person that we're looking at this morning, Abraham. Abraham, if you don't know, he was the patriarch of the Jews. He was the founding father of the nation of Israel, the people of God. But more than that, he's held up in the Bible as the man of faith in the scriptures. He's held up as the example of the faithful life. He's the Don Bradman of faith. He's the Beatles of faith. When Paul in the New Testament talks about the fact that people have always been saved by faith and not what they do, it's Abraham that he uses as an example. Abraham in Galatians is said to be the father of all people of faith. That means if you're here this morning and you call yourself a Christian, you have faith in the Lord Jesus, Abraham in one sense is your father. So in a chapter all about faith, you'd expect to see Abraham get a Guernsey somewhere. Well, today we get to see him. And one of the ways you can see how important he is in this issue of faith is the amount of space devoted to him. In chapter 11, as you read through it, nearly everyone gets one verse. Abel did, Enoch did, Noah did. Moses, who's one of the key people in the Old Testament, he was the one who rescued the people of God. He's the most important prophet that Israel had in the whole Old Testament. He gets six verses. He's so important. Everyone else nearly one. Abraham gets 12. Far, far more than anyone else he gets in this incredible chapter. And I just want to remind you again why this chapter, Hebrews 11, is so important in the book of Hebrews as a whole. Hebrews was written to Christians, and we've been seeing this as we've been going through the book, it's been written to Christians who were in danger of giving up their faith because of the difficulties of life. Hebrews has been saying over and over again that the Christian life is hard, and the reality is people are tempted to give up. The Christian life can be easy at first when things are smooth, when feelings are high and the going's easy, but it becomes much more difficult, the Christian life, as life goes on. When health fails and death becomes a reality, the Christian life becomes difficult. When the red zone date looms large, the Christian life becomes difficult. When the loneliness of being single gets too much, or the sadness of being part of a marriage that's not working hurts too much, well, suddenly the Christian life gets harder. And tragically, it's at those times that people are tempted to give up. This is reality. Hebrews is very honest. Hebrews doesn't pretend, it doesn't kind of sugarcoat things or be disingenuous. It's brutally, but I would say helpfully, honest. And Hebrews 11 starts off by explaining why the Christian life is so hard. Surely the Christian life should give us comfort in those difficult times. Surely it should be the thing that keeps us going. But Hebrews 11 is realistic because it explains why the Christian life is so difficult. It's because the Christian life is a life of faith. And faith can be weak. Have a think about it. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 defines faith as this. Listen to these words. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. I'll say that again. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. In other words, and I hope you see how true this is, faith is about things we don't yet experience now, in the present, in the same way that we experience everything else in life, especially the difficulties. And because of that, faith can be fairly weak. We don't see God face to face. We don't meet up with Jesus for a coffee. I can't show you the new creation, the new heavens and earth that one day we will live with. We don't have a copy of the original Bible. These are all things we have faith in, being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. But put that against the rest of the life that you and I live. The failing health and the oncoming death I experience now. I feel it. I see it. I can't escape it. The reality of financial pressures and needing to find somewhere to live happens now. It's immediate and palpable. The pain of no relationships or bad relationships is immediate and can be so consuming of our own lives. All these things, you see, surround us and affect us. We see them, we feel them, we experience them, we live them. And so the life of faith can seem like a fairly poor solution, can't it? The immediate pain, the immediate pressure, the immediate hardship and hassle of life against being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. And so there becomes this difficulty for Christians. Do we live by sight, where the things we see now and feel now and experience now is key? Or will we live by faith, where the things we hope for in the future and the things we don't see that are invisible are the focus? And that's exactly, this kind of difficulty is exactly why the life of faith can be so hard. It's exactly why people in the time that Hebrews was written were tempted to give up. It's exactly why people today are tempted to give up on their Christian walk. It's the same reason that every single one of us in this room at some stage, at some period in our life, will be tempted to give up. And there may be some of you this morning who know exactly what I'm talking about. Things are just getting too much on top of you, too hard to bear. And the invisible, the hopeful aspect of faith seems to be too little, too late. So what do you do? Well, friends, that's where Hebrews 11 comes in. This is the chapter where the author of Hebrews is saying, look, are you finding it hard to live by faith and not by sight? Well, be encouraged by some of the people who've done that down through the years. Be encouraged that you're not alone and you're not the only one who goes through these kind of things. Remember Abel. He lived by faith, not by sight. Remember Enoch, he lived by faith, not by sight. Remember Noah, he lived by faith, not by sight. And this morning we get to the main man, the main example of faith in the scriptures. Remember Abraham, who lived by faith and not by sight. Now today, as we look at the verses we heard Milton bring to us, we hear of a number of areas in his life where Abraham is described as living by faith, not by sight. So I want to just go through the verses and show you the different areas where Abraham exemplifies this for us, and then we'll finish off with a couple of things at the end. If you have a look at verse 8 behind me, you keep getting this phrase, by faith, Abraham. So these are the different areas where Abraham exhibited faith. Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. All these truths about Abraham are picked up in the early chapters of Genesis. That's where we can see it and find it. This happened in Genesis 12. God told Abraham, Abraham was going to be the founder of the people of God, the kind of patriarch, as I mentioned before, and God told Abraham these words in Genesis 12, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Very easy to gloss over as we read the scriptures exactly how difficult that would have been for Abraham. Notice as verse 8 says, Abraham didn't know where he was going. He had to have faith. He had to trust. Genesis 12 tells us Abraham was 75 years old at this point in his life. So he had to leave Haran, the place where he came from. He had to leave behind his family, his friends, his people, his father's household, everything to obey God without even knowing where he was going. Abraham lived by faith. The next demonstration of the faith of Abraham is verse 9. By faith, Abraham made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac, that's his son, and Jacob, that's his grandson, who were heirs with him of the same promise. He and his son Isaac and his grandson Jacob all lived in the land they'd been promised, not kind of with security, not with all the benefits that everyone else had, but as strangers in a foreign country, living in tents. You see what that's supposed to convey? No permanence, no stability, no possession. They lived by faith. The next aspect of faith spoken of in these verses comes in verse 11. And this section refers to the promise that God gave Abraham, that because Abraham was going to be the start of the people of God, Abraham was going to have descendants as numerous as the stars or the sand on the beach. God had said that Abraham and Sarah would have an uncountable offspring, if you like. But it didn't happen immediately. And if you know the story of Abraham from Genesis, you'll know this was a very difficult thing for Abraham and Sarah to trust in. Why? Well, because Abraham was 75 years old when he received this promise. It wasn't very likely. He was 100 before that first son was born, even less likely. And so he had to live by faith during this period, trusting God, even though the whole idea of this seemed ridiculous to him and to everyone else. In fact, I love the way it's described in these verses. Tell me if you think Abraham likes the way he's described in these verses. I'm not sure if he would. Verse 11, by faith Abraham, even though he was past age, that bit's all right, that's kind of polite. By faith Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who'd made the promise. And so from this one man, and he is good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless on the sand on the seashore. Would you like to be described like that? And he is good as dead. I think I have been. So Abraham had to trust God in the most unlikeliest of scenarios, that he would have descendants as a 75-year-old man, 76-year-old man, 77, 78. It went on and on and on for him. Well, then in the next section, verses 13 to 16, it doesn't really talk about Abraham's faith as such. It's a kind of summary section where it talks about the faith not just of Abraham, but all those just mentioned. So Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob. And we'll come back to those verses in a moment. But the last area of faith that Abraham's commended for is later on when Abraham finally did have his son Isaac. And you remember, if you know the story, this is one of the most disturbing stories in the entire scripture. Because God instructs Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. Now this passage is a very uncomfortable one, and you can be worried about what it's saying. How could God ask for such a thing? And if he didn't mean it at the time, was he just playing games with Abraham and all those kind of things? Now, sadly, we haven't got time to go into all of that this morning, but we have looked at this at St. Stephen's before. We went through the early chapters of Genesis, so if you want the if you want the answer on all these kind of things, look up on the website the sermon from Genesis 22. It's all there. But the short answer is, God is seeking to strengthen Abraham's trust and faith. He's not just playing games with Abraham, like we might kind of dangle a string with a kitten. But in this area, Abraham again demonstrated tremendous faith. Have a look at verse 17. By faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who'd received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it's through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Abraham here shows wonderful trust in God, believing that because God had promised all the descendants would come through Isaac, well, even if he did sacrifice his son, then God would bring him back to life. He had total trust that God was in charge of everything. Even death wouldn't thwart God's plans and purposes. And so as you go through this whole section, do you see these are the examples of faith, the faith of Abraham that are mentioned in Hebrews 11? And there's two things from all these examples that I want to leave you with this morning. Firstly, do you see that Abraham's life of faith was lived out in every area? This is the difference between Abraham and all the other people mentioned in the chapter, Hebrews 11. See, unlike Abel and Enoch and Noah, who we've seen over the last 3 weeks, only one aspect of their life and faith is mentioned. With Abraham, his faith is demonstrated in all these different areas of life. Have a think about it. Abraham had to live by faith as he uprooted his family, going to a place that he didn't know. Abraham had to live by faith as he lived in a place as a stranger with no security and no sense of community. He had to live by faith as he went through the pain of childlessness, the continual cycle of trying to have children, trying to have them, then realizing that you failed, then trying again, then realizing you failed, that whole cycle which can be so painful. And he had to have faith in God in the face of death, with the example of Isaac. Do you see that Abraham lived by faith, not by sight, in all these important areas of life? And this is supposed to encourage you and I and inspire us to live the life of faith in every area of our life. Now, one of the difficulties that an example like Abraham gives us is there are obvious differences between you and I and Abraham. Abraham had specific promises from God given to him as an individual. You and I don't, because you and I aren't the patriarch of Israel. But we need to exhibit faith in the same areas of life, trusting God in those same areas. And some of the areas, I wonder if you notice this, some of the areas that Abraham is shown to exhibit faith here in this chapter are very close to some of us today, aren't they? How many of us sitting here this morning are totally stressed and worried, or perhaps uncomfortable and nervous would be better descriptions, about where we're going to live? There's lots of us in the red zone at the moment, still not sure what we're doing. There's many more of us in the green zone who've had options taken off the table. Will we keep trusting in God in the face of those difficult circumstances and live by faith? Or living as a stranger in a foreign land? We may not be foreigners in the sense that we're Kiwis, but that whole image speaks of being lonely, not feeling that we get what other people get. Ever wrestle with things like that? Abraham lived by faith, not by sight. Will we? What about death? Some of us never actually really worry about this one because we live life pretending it will never happen to us. And then suddenly, without warning, it comes to us and we haven't wrestled. But for others, it does come. And it's a sure and certain sentence hanging over us. And so when death becomes a reality for either us or a loved one, will we live by faith? Or is the present reality too hard to escape from? And again, I hope you can see that this is where we're tempted to look at Abraham and think, well, Abraham had it easy, you see. Abraham had a specific word from the Lord about where to go and live. Abraham, go and I'll show you the place where you're going to go. He was told he would have many descendants as numerous as the stars and sand. God told him exactly what to do with his son Isaac. And we can kind of think, well, if God told me these things specifically, well, then I'd live by faith too. In fact, I could have been the patriarch of Israel. That's how well I'd live by faith. But, and I want you to see this, the incredible thing about Abraham that we can tend to gloss over and not think about is that although he was promised certain things, he didn't receive them in his lifetime. Abraham never got possession of the promised land. He lived there as a stranger his entire life. He never owned it. The only part he ever owned was the part where he buried his wife. And so day after day, year after year, he lived by faith as a stranger without having what was promised him. Abraham never saw the numerous descendants that God promised him. He only saw one. And that took 25 years to come. Think about that, because this is key. This is the other aspect of faith that I want to leave you with today. We've seen that Abraham lived by faith in all areas of life. But the second thing we see is Abraham had a patient faith that looked to the future. He had a patient faith which looked to the future. As I just said, Abraham went through his entire life without ever truly receiving the things that he was promised, the land he was promised. He went through 25 years, day after day, month after month, cycle after cycle, with the barrenness. He didn't get to see all the descendants and things like that. But what did he do? He kept trusting the Lord. He kept living by faith because he considered him faithful who'd made the promise. And in some ways, I want to suggest that having the promises actually made life more difficult for Abraham. I hope you can follow me here. But what I mean by that is, if Abraham didn't have the promises of God, then living in Haran would have been difficult at times. Not having children would have been difficult at times. But having the promises of God and still not experiencing them kind of makes it worse. Do you know what I mean? Why, God? How long, O Lord? Why am I waiting? Why is this not happening? What's going on? Am I mad to trust you? Do I keep going? Abraham did the hard yards of continuing to live by faith day after day, week after week, year after year, in difficult circumstances, without having truly, perfectly what was promised him. It's exactly the same as you and I. God has promised us peace. We never get it perfectly in this life. Promised us joy. We never get the perfect joy in this life. It will come.
as Abraham's promises would come, but we don't experience it perfectly now. Abraham's a great example of just living in faith day after day, even in difficult circumstances. In the midst of, you know, uncertainty over where we'll live and bad relationships and death. Do you see what the secret of Abraham's faith was? It was being sure of what we hope for. Do you remember that's what Hebrews 11:1 defines faith as? This is where the verses we didn't look at in our section come in. Verse 10. Can we have verse 10 up, John? It says that Abraham wasn't so concerned with the physical land where he was. Verse 10. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He was looking forward to the future. Verse 13 continues that thinking. Have a look at it. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they're looking for a country of their own. If they'd been thinking of the country they'd left, that's Haran, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he's prepared a city for them. Abraham was looking forward to the heavenly city that would one day be his. We sometimes think that all of God's promises back in the Old Testament were about a physical piece of land which people were fighting over, and sadly still are today. And there's some truth in that, but these verses show that Abraham himself realized there was a spiritual land to come. There was a heavenly country, as it's described here, that he looked forward to, that was far more important and far more significant. And it was as he looked to the future and the ultimate fulfillment of all God's promises that he had the strength to live faith day by day in faith now in the present. Do you see that? He looked to the finish line, and that got him through the present. As he lived in difficult circumstances day after day, he looked forward to the end time. Faith is being sure of things hoped for. The old saying goes that a person can be so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. But the deeper truth, Christian truth, is only the heavenly minded will have the patience and perspective to continue on earth in faith. It's only as you set your eyes forward and are sure of what God's promised us that we'll get through the grind and the daily hassles of today. When things gets tough, we'll get going. If things get hard or we're unappreciated or things don't change, because the present will become all-consuming, but faith is being sure of what we hope for. The danger is that we see and hear and feel things now which become our total reality. Faith reminds us there's more reality than that. There are bigger things going on. There's a future which does affect our present. There is the invisible, not just the visible, that we experience. That is absolutely crucial to be able to continue on as Christians, to be able to continue on in faith as Abraham did. Our faith must push us to think future and what God has promised us, and the invisible, not just what we see and feel and touch. Because the truth is, and I'll finish with this, I said before that we're different from Abraham. He hasn't made specific promises to Jabin or to you. The truth is, God has made promises to you about where you will one day live, and about your relationships in the future, and about death, not in this world, but in the world to come. The scriptures have promised to us that if you trust in the Lord Jesus, you will one day live with the Lord. That's where you'll be. You will one day have perfect relationships with no dishonesty or selfishness or loneliness, where one day death will be completely defeated and gone. These are all the things that Jesus has achieved for us. His death on the cross guarantees all of it. The truth of that doesn't take away the pain and the struggle and the uncertainty over homes now or facing death in the near future, but it does change the way we face it all. It sets it in perspective. It gives the fuller picture and the bigger reality. Faith is difficult, but if we live it in all areas of life like Abraham did, and if we live it patiently looking forward like Abraham did, then God will sustain us day by day as we go through the trials of life. I pray that like Abraham, we'll be able to have faith in all areas of life and have a patient faith which looks forward. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I don't know what everyone's going through today. I don't know all the things that have been going on in people's lives as they've come into this hall at Shirley Intermediate this morning. But I am aware that the life of faith is one that can be difficult at times. That the present realities that we find ourselves in can be so consuming, so total, that it's hard to gain perspective, it's hard to set our eyes upon you, it's hard to live the life of faith. But you know where each one of us is. You know whether we're people who've never begun the life of faith, we've never yet fully put our trust in the Lord Jesus, or if we have, we're finding it difficult at the moment because of some particular circumstance or context that we find ourselves in. For some of us, we may be going really well in our walk with faith, but the difficult times will come. Lord, I pray that wherever we stand this morning before you, that by your Spirit you may encourage our hearts and minds to follow in the footsteps of Abraham, that we would seek to live the life of faith in all areas of life, and that our faith would be patient and looking forward. Thank you that we can be sure of things we hope for, and thank you that we can be certain of things that we do not see. And when we live with that in mind, with that bigger perspective and reality, it helps us get through the difficult circumstances we find ourselves in the here and now. Please strengthen and sustain all of us this day so that we may follow you the rest of our days. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.